This meeting is now being recorded.
Welcome to the IDN Guidelines Working Group call on 8th of February 2018. We have Mats, Dennis, Satish, Pitinan, and Sarmad on the call. Over to you, Mats.
Thank you. Let's scroll down. See how far down we were.
We were going to start with the RYASG responses.
Right.
We started discussing number one, but we were ran out of time, so we said we'll continue next time.
Right. They comment that we don't have a definition for what constitutes security or stability issue. This is something that we have gone back and forth. We had such a definition before, but we decided, I don't remember in what states, to remove that.
So this was removed after the first public comment.
Right. I guess that someone commented that. And the one argument was that the definition should fall back on what it says in the agreement, rather than we should have our own definition here. So one option is to revert that and add a definition. Another option is that we somewhere state that we fall back on the definition in any agreement, or if there is no such agreement, it's based on the general meaning of security and stability. And third option is that we just answer that. So this is how we decided to have it, and that we mean that it's fall back to any agreement. Comments, opinion? Yes, Dennis, please.
Thank you, Matt. So my preference has been to always define the terms by which we're going to require certain mandatory requirements to be fulfilled by the or comply with by the registries. But I understand why we removed the definition, because it was controversial, the registry agreements. When we review registry agreements, they didn't have any security and stability issues definition by itself, and even then it is used broadly. So that's why we agree on removing the definition that we first intended to use. So I'm fine with that approach. Not sure that constraining the scope of security stability for IDN tables will help. And maybe one idea, I don't know, Matt, if it falls between among your options, when IDN tables are viewed by PDT and RCEP, I'm pretty sure, I'm just assuming, but I think the case is that you have a checkpoint for security and stability, right? And you do, and these processes will look for specific items that relate to security and stability issues. One possibility, I'm not saying this is the way we should go, but one possibility is to, in the exam or as an appendix information, to explain what are the security and stability items that IDN Tails would be subject to. Again, I'm just thinking out loud, put it on a table, not saying that that we need to do, but that maybe that's one possible way to not exactly define what security and stability is, but what this working group means by checking things on a security and stability grounds.
Mm-hmm. So much.
Thank you. So I actually just went back to the previous public comment, and I pasted the public comment. Actually, the initial in the previous public comment, we'd actually used the definition of security and stability, which is given in the registry service evaluation policy. And if you want to look at that, that is actually at this link. You can go and look at that. It's security and stability is explicitly defined, and those were the definitions we had used. And based on that, in the previous public comment, registry stakeholder group said that the stability definition of stability is too broad and too open for interpretation for IDN guidelines. Based on obviously that comment, we had said that security and stability is not, our working group does not intend to define them. So it is deleting the reference, which were reused from RCEP, and using these terms to without explicit definition, with the intention that relevant applicable definitions will be inherited from existing arrangements, e.g. from the respective contracts for the GTLDs. So I guess we've actually been there where we've used the definition from RCEP, we retracted it based on our YSG comment, then now we actually have now got another YSG comment, which is saying that we need to, define it. So this is where we are.
Right. A comment when it comes to PDT, in PDT testing, security and stability has not been in focus for the IDN tests. And I feel that the issues around stability and security is quite vague when it comes to IDN tables. So I think it's quite tough, this. Dennis, please.
Thank you. Sarma, thank you for bringing this up, the registry service evaluation. I think this is the answer. But I recognize the comment of the registry stakeholder group. So instead of, and I understand that the RCEP process is being, it's under review, so not sure whether these definitions now will change in the future, but would it, since IDN Tables, if they need to go live, they have to go through an RCEP process, would it be potentially we're not defining here within the guidelines, but we can refer back to the we can refer to the link to this regulatory service evaluation policy, and that's it, right? We're not defining it, but we are referring to the standard by which IDM tails are going to be measured against.
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Mats. So we'd actually use those, what I was saying was that we'd actually use those definitions from RCEP, and RYSG had come and said that that's too broad. That was their comment, which I posted, which actually motivated us to take those out. However, I guess when an IDN table goes through RCEP, those are actually generally the applicable definitions, and those are the agreed definitions. So I guess what you're saying is generally true, but with one limitation that's true for GTLDs and would probably, I'm not sure, be equally applicable for CCs. That's why instead of pointing to these definitions, we using a link, we had said that we'll just copy that and use that, add that in an appendix, and that's why we did it that way last time. Thank you.
I don't feel that the definition of security at all is relevant for IDM. Is it?
Just reading it. So B would cover when it says unauthorized access to or disclosure of information or resources. Could it, for example, mean phishing kind of issues? But in any case, I guess it would be very hard for this group to just come up with a definition which would be generally acceptable. I think if we need to define something like that, we'll actually have to probably go back to the community and ask, you know, what would work. So that's a tough process. Obviously it's doable. It'd take a large amount of time to come up with something which is explicit and covers all the aspects of IDN tables. I guess I'm thinking if you have to define something specific for IDN tables. I'm not really sure what the solution is.
But I don't agree that the B is applicable. I mean, very indirect. I mean, we could interpret phishing, etc., but it's quite a long way because it says an effect on security by the proposed registry service shall mean the unauthorized access and disclosure of information. But I feel that, I mean, the security issue that we would see in IDM table is kind of potential such thing, not the actual. So I don't feel that the definition is usable for IDM. So my suggestion is that we take the answer from last time and just change the tempus that we it wasn't does not intend to define and we deleted reference to definitions previous update or something.
So this is Armad. Edmund just joined, first of all, and then hello, Edmund. And then just a quick response to that. Are you suggesting we just respond to RYSG1 comment and do not change the recommendation, or are you also suggesting change in recommendation?
Not changing recommendation. Keep it as it is, and just adding the previous answer, but updated so it fits the fact that there is no such. We haven't removed it now. We've removed it previously. Yes, that's my proposal. So, what do you think, Edmund, Satish, Dennis?
I'm sorry, Matt, I was typing. I missed it.
Edmund, please.
Yeah, this is Edmund here. Sorry, I jumped probably in the middle of the discussion, but I'm guessing it's about security and stability, the definition. I guess we had a long discussion last time around, and I agree with Matt that we are not to change anything from our standpoint, but in our response to RYSG, we can probably point back to what we discuss and why we say that. In particular for the relevant to RYSG is probably the RA itself and many of the ICANN policies themselves do not have that definition, and we are using the same convention, if you will. So that I think is I think in our response we can point to that as well.
Okay.
So there's a response which has those two or three items in it, and then I guess we can share that with you next time.
So I think we all agree that we do not try to add any new secure stability definition to the text, and that we refer to the previous discussion. Or previous answer. Okay, so let's go to the next comment from RYSG. Number two. RYSG notes that draft guideline 11 lacks a definition of same registrant and recommends that guideline 12 should include language stating that where a variant is active, it should be delegated to the same name servers as the primary label. Okay, so In 11, which just say that it must be either allocated only to the same registrant as the primary IDN label, or be blocked from registration. As I recall, we had a discussion of what is meant by the same registrant. How should we define that? Edmund, please.
Yeah, so I'm guessing the concern that RISD has is a same registrant as a, let's say, a person can have multiple domains, right? So probably we should say kind of something like the same domain registration or something. I don't have the text in front of me, but I think that should resolve that. The next suggestion in terms of the same name servers, I don't have a problem with that. I think that is current practice anyway, and if people are comfortable with it, we could document it here.
Yeah, I mean, the text is, the full text is this, 11, as I pasted in the chat box. Is same registration unproblematic? Yes, please, Dennis.
I think Sarma has his hand up before me.
Sarma, please.
Thank you. Just a note that we've normally in the past avoided putting in implementation details in the guidelines. So this goes at least to some extent to the level of implementation detail. You know, we're happy to include it, but just a note. Thank you.
Right. I mean, if registration is an implementation question, then it is problematic because someone might implement it as different registrations, but having some kind of linking between them, and in that way having control of it, and the registrant might not be part of the registrations as such, it's outside and it's just a reference. So I agree with that. I think that we probably should keep it as is and just answer that that defining same registrant would be too much of implementation it's too much implementation specific. Edmund, or Dennis, you raised your hand.
Yeah, I agree. I support all that you have said, Sarman and Nats. Yes, I think going one level down, it would be too detailed. And I also support Edmund's point that saying or stating the name server should be the same at the primary level, that's going too much and maybe problematic for some implementations.
So you don't think that requiring the same name servers is okay? You think it's too, or were you referring to the registrant?
Both. Yeah, same registration, yeah, no, like you suggested, some implementations may be of the kind that there are different registrations and there is a relationship between all of them so that you have the same, all of them are under the same registrant. And yes, requiring that all these binaries are delegated to the same name service might not be practical for that matter, right? And I mean, VeriSign, from the experience of VeriSign when we're looking at these potential service, the feedback that we got from registrars is that their customers would like the flexibility to assign different name servers to different domain names if they choose to activate variants, because some may serve a different markets and they will allocate the domain names accordingly, right, in order to have better resolution, faster DNS responses, et cetera, et cetera. So they're having the flexibility to assign different name servers to the different domain names, even though they are variants, that's a useful feature to have.
I think that ICANN requires in the registry agreement, usually, or maybe always, that variants are delegate to the same name servers. Do you know, Samad?
I have not come across anything like that, but that means that if there is something, I may not have seen it. Sorry, I don't know at this time. I'll go back and check again.
Yeah, well, that's my, as I remember, it says in the registration, in the registration agreement, registry agreement. I think it says.
I can check and come back to you over email and confirm.
Requiring that, I mean, that it ties variant much closer to the to the main one. So that's a pro of requiring it. And if RYSG suggests that, then they don't see any problem. So, is it really a strong meaning that we shouldn't have that binding? Salman, please.
So, a couple of points. First of all, obviously, I said that this is, even if it is true, it is still an implementation level requirement, which we've never not gone to that level generally for IDN guidelines. It does require that, it does sort of binds these variants not only logically, but also physically, geographically at least. So that's a constraint, which, again, I guess question is that how does that promote security issues which we are trying to solve, in addition to just limiting it to one registrant. So that's a, I guess, second question we should ask. In any case, I'm not, at least I don't see why that would actually be needed. One option is that if we think that it should be added, then in case some people who do not want to implement it this way and it doesn't pose a security problem, there should be some mechanism for them to get an exception to it. Thank you.
Right. I copied text from the from a registry agreement for .sport. Unfortunately, the spaces there are corrupted for some reason. And they require, it's required in the agreement that they use the same. Here's a better version. So this is text. for registry agreement for .sport. And I think we have the same text for all GTLDs that are allowed to have active variants or provide activated variants. Well, this is the situation today, and if the registry agreement can have such details, I think that the guidelines could have that too, and it actually decreases the chance of the variant going a different direction. Yes, Dennis.
Thank you, Matt, for providing the reference. So it looks like that different registry operators have different provision as far as to managing variants. For example, I know of a registry operators that do not have that flexibility to activate variants, so the registry agreements would not have such text. The one you're providing on the chat box. But I think if they got it in the registry agreement, that's the way they have to operate. But to Sarma's point, putting that to the guidelines that will apply to every registry operator, I'm not sure that will be helpful. Even in the case that that's what we think would be the way to do it, registry operators do not have the provision to activate variants in the registry agreement will have to seek, I think that's the way it has to be, right? They will have to seek an amendment to the registry agreement in order to actually activate variants, not just by the fact that the guidelines allow activation, they will just freely do so. They will have to seek an amendment in order to provide that service. And if that's the case, then ICANN and the registry operator will have to negotiate how the implementation path to do that.
And I'm not sure about your conclusion.
So no, what I'm saying, the conclusion is that we should not in the guidelines. We should not specify whether name servers have to be activated for the same variants. Just leave it there. Too much implementation detail for the guidelines to have.
Okay. So should we have some text that variants should be kept synchronized or something? Do we see any reason why variants should kind of look the same?
Edmund has his hand up.
I'm sorry, Edmund, please.
No problem. So in response to your last question first, I think we would go down a path where, I'm being treated right now. We would go down a path that is not going to be fruitful, so I would suggest against writing anything. Actually, I very much agree with Matt's your earlier suggestion to really make no changes here and explain to the ROISG that both of their suggestions are too much of a implementation issue and should be dealt with. And if we are concerned that, as Matt, you mentioned, you know, some of the registry agreements, in fact, already have provisions that deal with it. So I don't think we need to be concerned here.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that the consensus then is that we should answer, we should make no changes in the recommendations based on RYSG2, and that the answer to them is that this is too much of the implementation details that the guidelines do not want to include. Can we agree with that? I see no. Yeah, Edmund, do you want to comment? Dennis, I think he approved. Okay, I think that everyone approves this. Satish wrote, sounds good, I don't know. Hoping this is to me. So, let's take that. Just a comment. I think that all registry agreements that allow for activated variants also have that text that I pasted in the chat box. So it's not just some of them. All of them have that. Okay, let's go to number three. RYSG agrees with the guidelines group on the clarified scope of the guidelines section 12. These guidelines only apply to domain names at the second or lower, should only apply to domain names at the second or lower levels registered with the corresponding TLD registry. Okay. So, there's nothing that we have to do about that. Number four, on the reasonable timeline to implement guideline 6A on the use of LGR format for IDN tables, RYSG is of the opinion that, consistent with our comment on March 2017 document, registers should not be required to implement LGR to publish IDN tables. Registers who decide to transition to the new format should do it at their discretion. Okay. So, RYSG thinks that LGR should not be mandatory at all. And what we say is that LGR is mandatory except if they already have a table that will be used. Do we see any reason to change our minds? Sum up, please.
Thank you, Matt. Just to remind ourselves, so yes, RYSG made a similar comment last time, and based on that comment, we had modified the recommendation to include an X months delay, and we said that we will get a value of X from the community, especially RYSG, give that delay so that registries can have more time to move in and support RFC 7940.
Okay, so can I suggest, thank you for clarification, Samad, can I suggest that we answer that we see the value of LGR so high that we do not want to make LGR optional. Please note that we give certain time for the introduction of LGR, and we ask our YSG to propose the number of months that they need for implementing LGR for new IDN tables. What do you suggest, Edmund, please?
Yeah, Edmund here. I'm not sure if it seems to me OSG is repeating their comment, and I think we have dealt with this in the sense that we're not asking for any legacy or existing tables to be updated. We're asking for if there are changes to them or if new tables are being published, maybe in LGR. I think, you know, I think our response to them, we should highlight that as well. So we have taken their comment into consideration, and we have you know, decided not to require the registries to make any updates to their existing ones. But in case they, you know, publish new IDN tables, whether updating existing ones or new scripts or languages, those should be in LGR. I think, you know, if I'm not mistaken, that's what we're asking, and we should clarify that to our YSG.
So, what does new table mean? If a registry gets a new CLD and you wants to use the same repertoire and rules as they use for some other CLD, is that reuse or is that new?
In response directly to your question, I think any new GTLDs coming along would probably have the LGR requirement itself, so that would not apply. And existing TLDs I think what we mean by new is when they update their table or when they introduce a new table. As I think for new GTLDs, I think generally, you know, I think the likelihood of it is that, ICANN will make an implementation that requires the LGR format and new GTLDs would comply. I don't see that as a problem that we need to solve here at the guidelines level.
Well, I think that the guidelines are on number 6 is a little bit unclear. Dennis, please.
Thank you. I think a way, I mean, listening to Edmund, I've seen a path forward in order to achieve the same goal, but not causing this friction with the registered stakeholder group is to to enforce the LGR format in the gateway where updates and new tables are published, and that is the IANA repository, right? I mean, today's process requires registries to publish the tables, right, at the IANA repository, and the IANA repository has a specific steps by which registries can submit their tables, and one of these steps is to format the table to specific standards. And today there are two standards, one the tabular format that we all know we are familiar with, and also an optional LGR XML RFC 7940 format. So if what we want is that the registry operators, when they update or submit new tables, are in this XML format, why don't we just, you know, have that requirement or have ICANN or figure out a way to make it mandatory when they submit the tables in the IANA process and not here in the guidance. I mean, we would be achieving the same thing, but not placing the burden here in the IDN guidelines, but actually in the gateway where they have to submit the tables.
Right. So if we look at guideline number 6, as we have written it, it says that it must be in LGR, except if registered with existing IDN tables already present within the IANA repository. So does that mean that if a registry running five TLDs and getting a new one, I mean, new doesn't mean newly signed, it's just taking over a TLD, wants to have the same tables as with the other ones, are these considered to be new and must be in LGR format before they are put into the IANA repository, or is it considered to be reusing existing IDN tables? I think this is quite unclear. Salman, please.
Right, so this was also, I guess, discussed in the meeting we had at Abu Dhabi. The wording here, I guess, needs to be updated. So when we're saying registries, we obviously are meaning basically TLD and not generally a registry operator, which may be executing multiple TLDs. So I think that was the intention, and this probably wording needs to be updated to, meet that expectation. That's one thing. Second thing to Dennis's comment, the current guideline 6 actually is very clear in, or maybe it could be made more clear in that the LGR format we are asking for is for publication in the IANA repository. So guideline 6 is actually starts with clarifying that the context is for publication at IANA repository. So that may actually may already be there, I'm not sure whether we need to specify it further. Thank you.
But then I find 6 contradictory, because so it starts by saying that IDN tables must be placed in IANA repository. Okay, and then it says A, that it must be in LGR format, except if it's already there. So you have to put your table into the repository, but if it's already there, you don't need to put it in an LGR format. So why do you want to put it in the IANA repository if it's already there? It doesn't make sense.
This is Armad. Could I come in?
Yes, please. Yes,
all
please,
right. Salman. Just going back to the discussions, what we were saying was that if there is an existing TLD, it will have, and it may be actually offering IDN tables supporting multiple languages and scripts, and it may actually have posted those tables already in IANA repository, and that the clause B is intended to allow that to continue. There are multiple other scenarios. One scenario is that they change one of the existing IDN tables, which have been posted in the IANA repository. In that case, if they put in a new table for a particular TLD, then it has to be in LGR format, so clause A applies. If they add another language or script, so they add a new IDN table to RCEP, the first clause applies, which means the table has to be in RFC 67940 format. And then, obviously, if a new TLD comes along, then there is no legacy IDN tables, and therefore, it for the new TLD, it only clause A is applicable. That is at least my understanding of our discussions on these. And then if this wording obviously is not clear, we need to work on it and perhaps clarify it accordingly. Thank you.
Right. So your interpretation is that you must put your table in the IANA repository, and it must be in LGR format, period. If you already have your IDM table in the IANA repository and don't do updates of it, you don't have to replace it with an LGR table.
Exactly. Clause B was to just give an exception to those IDN tables which are already there, and we did not want to create extra work for the implementations which were already done. For
right. Yes, but B is not an exception to putting it into the repository. It's an exception to having it in LGR format. So this is quite unclear. So 6A should be, you have to put it in the repository in LGR format, and B, that if you already have it there, you don't have to replace it with an LGR table.
Sure. I think we can certainly clarify the wording.
Then it's Edmund Satish. What do you say?
I think it's clear the scope, right? And maybe we need to do some words meeting to make it clear that when we talk about registry, it's about TLD. But I still think that, of course, this is a different direction that we're taking, but accomplishing the same thing. Sorry, hold on. Edmund can go, and then I can come back.
Edmund, please.
Yeah, Edmund jumping in. I have to admit that I was distracted a little bit earlier, so I might not have caught everything. But I think I agree with Samad. I think we already catch those cases. And Matt, I think generally if a new GTLD comes in, two things happen, right? One, it has a process. There would be a new GLD application process and evaluation process and all those kind of things.
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
I think the IDN guidelines would be stepping out of scope to predetermine that anything that happens there. And I think we shouldn't try to dictate what happens there. But I think we can say for sure, you know, feel assured that this, you know, that the requirement is likely going to be what we want to see. And I don't think there would be a very big resistance, there. So I don't think we need to worry about it. I think it's a little bit out of scope from what we do. But even if that's the case, I think how Samad has laid it out, makes sense. I think it already catches it. And if it so happens that a particular, you know, let's say a new GTLD process comes in and doesn't require it, I'm sure Samad will raise the issue, and we can, you know, as a former group by then, chime in and put our voices in as well. But I don't think we need to add anything here to on that regard.
Edmund, you misunderstood the new TLD. We have a registry that has five TLDs. It's running five TLDs, and it signs a contract with another one, a sixth one. An existing TLD, a newly, not meaning newly signed, but new for that registry.
For that TLD, the table would be new, wouldn't it?
Right. No, it would be new for the TLD, but it would be the same as the registry is running for all other TLDs that it already runs.
As mentioned, I think we clarify that what we're talking about are TLDs, we're not talking about registry operators. Registry operator, the whole concept of registry operator is not fully set up anyway at ICANN, and I think, again, that would go into, again, step out of our scope, because if we define registry operator, that's something, you know, that's not something that, again, that's something that probably the new GTLD process will define further, but that's not...
Registry operator is defined. Registry operator is well defined. That is the party that holds the contract on the GTLD with ICANN.
But whether it has any particular difference if a registry operator operates multiple TLDs is not defined. That's what I meant. Right?
Right.
So there is, to any TLD, the registry, when we talk about a registry, we're talking about the TLD, then that's fine, right? I mean, because right now the definition of, yes, you said registry operator is fine, but a registry operator working with multiple TLDs are still multiple TLDs. That's the relationship right now today. And I there's nothing at ICANN right now suggesting otherwise.
Okay. So when I talk about registries here, I'm referring to the registry service provider, VeriSign running multiple TLDs for other registry operators. It is very clear that we need to clarify number 6. The language here is not good. And we can see that in number 5, we say a registry must publish. Okay, we must clarify that too. And so we are at the top of the hour. The conclusion is that for RYSG4, that we will not remove the requirement of LGR formats for new or updated IDN tables, and that it will be the answer to them, and that we must update recommendation 6 and also recommendation 5. Anyone wants to add a comment?
Peter
is here. Yes, please.
Yeah, so the remaining item would be then to seek their feedback as to the X value in order to implement the 6A.
Yes. So Peter has proposal of text for 6. It doesn't cover that the IDN tables must be published in the IANA repository. But except, I think it's a better text.
Hi, sorry, let me come in a little bit. It was an accidental enter, so it wasn't a nice format.
But you can read it, no problem.
Okay, so I was thinking maybe it's clearer if we use in number 6 the IDN tables. Mm-hmm. So in number 5 is the registry operators have to publish the IDN tables, and then in number 6 is all IDN tables. So is the A is the new IDN tables, B is the existing one in IANA, and we probably have to add if they want to update the existing one, what happened? So that's my suggestion.
Right. I think it's a good step what you have proposed, Peter. We need to capture C also, 6C. For 5A, 5, I don't know if we can use the term register operator, because register operator is not applicable for CCTLDs. So let's think about that. We are at the top of the hour. I want to thank all of you for participating. And some of you have a complex protocol to write.
No problem. Take care of it.
Yes, I know. You do a good job. Thank you very much, all of you. Talk to you next week. Goodbye.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.